At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Ruth chapter 2, starting in verse 11. When you're there, please stand. Ruth chapter 2, starting in verse 11. And Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, how you left your father and mother in the land of your birth and came to a people you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." And she says, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly of your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here, that you may eat bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." We don't need to break that down. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. That'll preach. Then she rose to glean, and Boaz commanded his servant, saying, "Let her glean from among the sheaves, and do not insult her." Wow. "Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." And she gleaned the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she took it out, and Ruth, took it out and gave it to Naomi, and that's actually her lunch, by the way, the leftover her lunch, that she had left after she was satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man in whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, whom has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead." And again, Naomi said that the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth the Moabite said, "Furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until you have finished all the harvest." Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with the maid so that you do not fall up, so that others do not fall upon you in another field. So stay close by the maids of Boaz and glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest." And she lived with her mother-in-law. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to take it here a little bit of verse at a time. So, if you recall the story, she's gleaning in the field. Boaz spots her and approaches her and says to her, "It's been told to me your story," if I could say it like that, okay? So, what is it that he heard? All that she did for her mother-in-law after the death of her own, Ruth's own husband. And so, it's interesting here. I think the context in this, what you did for her, when you were hurting, what you did for your mother-in-law when you lost your husband. Notice he doesn't say what you did for your mother-in-law when she lost her husband. He puts it in the context of her own struggle. Her own loss is how when she helped. That's the significant part that took place here, okay? You, in your pain, decided to help someone who could not help you. See, it's different when you help someone that can pay you back, that can do something for you. But out of your own loss and your own pain, to help someone else in their pain when they have nothing else to give you. That's what Boaz is taking note of. Luke 14, this issue is addressed. Jesus addresses this. When you give, Luke 14, starting in verse 12b, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return that you will be repaid. It's not literally you can't invite your relatives over. The point is someone that can repay you. Don't just give to those that can repay you. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. If you notice, there's a whole lot of blessing going on in there. Since they do not have a means to repay you, for, linguistic identifier, okay? Logical connective, for again, hermeneutic students, for, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Hey, it's great when you do things for people that can invite you over again, that can help you out. So Christ is trying to teach a lesson, not that you cannot do that. He says you need to make sure you also give to those in this context, inviting them in your home. You got to understand that Middle Eastern culture, Near Eastern culture, that what inviting somebody in your house meant, okay? But invite those other ones that may not even have a house to invite you back to. So in that context, I want you to think about a minute what Ruth gave up, because Boaz mentions what Ruth gave up. He says to her, you left your home where your family is. You've left father and mother, okay, to come to a land where you don't know anybody. Now, maybe you haven't, but I did many times as a kid. I moved 22 times in my 18 years at home. We often moved to places where I didn't know anybody. I hated walking to a classroom, you know, being a kid. As a matter of fact, in junior high, I went to 5 different junior highs in 2 years, all right? At that age, you know how uncomfortable it is at 12, 13 years old to walk into a classroom and you don't know anybody. And you move from another part of the country, so you got the wrong clothes on. You don't listen to the right music. You know what I'm saying? The culture's so different. I know what that's like. And he's saying, man, you left what you were familiar with, what you understood, to come to a people which you have never previously known. Culture shock. It's so hard to change cultures. And she's going from what she knows in Moab to, oh, you get paid after your work, if I can use that analogy, okay? So she's coming to this culture. She's left her father and mother, all right? And then Boaz says this, may the Lord reward you for your work and your wages be full from the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. By the way, that reference to wings is not a reference to a bird. That is reference to the wings of the cherubim. And what was under the wings of the cherubim? The mercy seat. There you go. And you'll see sort of a reference to that here as we move on. Okay? So this idea shows up here that because of her good works, he asked God to reward her. All right? Matthew chapter 19, verse 29 and 30. And this will sound familiar, okay, because Ruth just did this. And everyone who has left houses, your home, brother, sister, father, mother, children, or farms, for my sake, will receive as many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But he who is first will be last, and he was last will be first. Okay? A lot of scripture here. I'm laying a scriptural principle out for you. Okay? Now to Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10 is where the rich young man has come to Jesus and ask him about following Jesus, if you recall. And Jesus says to the fellow, then keep this law, that law. And the guy says, I've done that. That just tells me he's a liar. Anyway, and then Jesus says, good, then sell all you have and give it to the poor. And the guy walks away because he was very rich. And Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle than a rich man. And then Peter, good old Peter, I like it when he opens up his mouth. Wait a minute. Then how is it any possible for anybody to come to God? And then Jesus says what? With God, all things are possible, saying the rich can come, okay? All right? And then Peter speaks up again, says, wait a minute, God. You know what we gave up for you? That's what he says, okay, in verse 28. Behold, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus responds. Jesus said, truly I say unto you that no one who has left house, brother, sister, mother, father, children, or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive, listen closely, he will receive 100 times as much in this present age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, farms, along with persecutions. Dadgum, I was doing really good till I got to that. And in the cage to come, eternal life. But the first will be last, and the last shall be first. Okay, now, Christ's own word says this, all right? When you forsake XYZ for Christ, for the gospel, that in this life, did I read that wrong? Please don't go prosperity on me yet. Please don't do that. Okay, we're just taking the text for what it says. He says, in this life, you receive 100-fold, father, sister, brother. Okay, wait. Can you get 100 more mothers? No. So is he literally talking about physical things? No. So you might hear somebody grab that verse and say that and say, well, gee, I only got one mother and I'll never have 100. Now, many commentators believe that that reference to new family is y'all. It's when you give up and you give up family and you come into the kingdom of God, you gain us. Some of you are going, oh, do I have to? Anyway, okay, that family, that's what some want to argue, and that could very well be true, but I know this, I don't genetically get another mother. Okay, my mom wouldn't allow it. But there is something in this life that comes from reward when you sacrifice for God in this life and in the world to come, all right? And so Jesus Christ is saying, but he ends the phrase with what? The first shall be last and the last shall be first. So he puts it in the frames that sums it up in that last statement. If we went to Hebrews chapter 11, what's called the Hall of Faith. By faith, Abraham. By Noah, Abraham. This kind of thing is there. And we go to verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Now, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? You don't come to something you don't believe is. All right? But notice this. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, here's the problem. Scripture also tells me no one seeks God. So we got a paradox there, but we ain't got time to tear that apart. So he says, not only do you got to believe that I'm here, you got to believe that I reward. Now, I'm going to be honest. A lot of people have no problem with reward. It's the other thing they don't like. Okay, but anyway. And we go to Ephesians chapter 6. It's now talking about slaves and masters. I don't know about you, but I don't call that a positive relationship. Slave and master. How many here wants the master and wants to be a slave? I don't. Okay? Because that slave, that owner in their culture could have me beaten, have me killed, often mistreated me. And in that context, Paul says this, with good will, good heart, good intent, render service as unto the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. So the context here is even when the relationship isn't the best, when that person very likely is not treating you well, you serve them like you're serving Christ. So it isn't just those you get along with and like. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Same type of context. Slave master, employee, bad boss. Does that work for you? Whatever you do, do your work heartily. That has to do not with just physical effort, but attitude as well. As for the Lord, rather than men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For it is the Lord Christ you serve. Now, I'm going to be direct with you. In the Protestant Reformation, one of the profound things that came with that was this, is you worked as unto the Lord. So what's known as the Protestant work ethic. Anybody heard of that besides me? Okay. And so one of the things that made Western civilization what it was is work, hard work, was valued. It was a way you showed worship to God, is you do it unto the Lord. So you physically worked hard, which brought production, if you will, to the process. It isn't the only thing that helped the Western civilization, but that type of idea came with it. Okay? And so even when you're doing it for a boss, an employee, you do this. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3 and 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. In other words, they achieve the same goal. But each. What's each? That means a you and a you and a you. Not y'all, but each of us, okay, will receive his own reward according to his labor. So this idea that I get, teenagers, listen to me, the reward God will give will not be based on how religious your parents are. If you receive that reward in this life, it's based on what you do, teenager. Your own, the emphasis here is the individual, your own labor. But let me throw a twist into that for you. God allows for, if you will, subrogate service. So, because not everybody, how many of you get to go to Southeast Asia with me? Not everybody does. You don't get to serve in that way. So does that seem fair that I would get a reward that you can't get because you can't do what I do? And vice versa, though, as well. But God makes a way for that. My mother operates under this scripture. Because my mother's not a pastor. She's my dad's wife. Matthew 10 and 41. But he who receives a prophet, receives has the idea like inviting him in your home, hospitality. A prophet, that is a proclaimer, a preacher of the word. In the name of the prophet, for the sake of that's what he is. So he who receives a prophet, okay, a declarator of God's word, all right. In the name of the prophet, that is because he is one. All right, shall receive the prophet's reward. Oh, I don't get every opportunity that you do, but when I serve you because of what you are doing. Amen. So even though I can't get up at the piano and you wouldn't want me to, and get them behind the microphone and scare you all out of this building, so how do I get that reward? I serve that person. Okay, so God allows for that kind of thing as well. And it also goes on to say, he who receives a righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive the righteous man's reward. And it also goes on to talk about his disciples that way, the disciples that way. When you honor a person righteous, the person that you go, man, I sure wish I could pray like. You know, I just admire so-and-so. They're just so devoted. You don't know what everything they went through to get there, but you know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. You get to receive that reward as if you could pray like that. So God allows that. But we got to put it in the context of which Christ put it in. When we mentioned that earlier phrase, right? The first shall be last shall be first. All right. So for Matthew chapter 20, starting in the last half of verse 26, whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. I like the word servant better. Just as, simile, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve to give his life as a ransom to me. Here's why I get reward by being a servant. Ready? Not because I'm great or you're great. Because when I become a servant, I get to be like Christ. And when you be like Christ, that brings reward. And persecution. Remember, he promised that too. I want one, but I surely don't like the other. All right? And you'll see the same teaching in Mark chapter 9 and Mark chapter 10. One of my life verses addresses this. If you've been around a while, you know this. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, 3 through 11. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Did you hear me, teenager? Regard your little brother and sister more important than you do yourself. Okay? Regard mom and dad. Why? Now look at, if you honor mom and dad, now you can get mom and dad's reward. Do not merely look to your own personal interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself. Notice it starts inside as a desire to be like Christ, because it goes on to say, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God, Son of God. So no, he is God. But that wasn't what his concern was. His concern was those he came to die for. Okay? He didn't come and calm armies down from heaven. Okay? He didn't come and have the angels get him off the cross. He wasn't there for that. He was there for those he came to die for. And if those of you in hermeneutics, again, we read that this last week, that he came for the sick, not the healthy. For this reason he came. All right? And he emptied himself in the form of a bondservant or bondslave, being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself. That's the hard part. I can mow a lawn all day long. Well, not really, but I can mow a lawn. But when I have to go to you, when you haven't treated me well, you didn't even say hi to me in church. Matter of fact, I invited you over for dinner last year, and you've never invited me back. And now you're sick. Wait a minute, I got to eat crow and go over there? Yeah, that's when it's hard. When you like me and I like you, and it's all peachy keen, it's buying a Christmas gift for that person who always badmouths you and the family. Wait a minute, Uncle George and I get along great. We'll exchange gifts, but get a gift for that person, uh-uh. Okay? Being a servant, it's the humble part. That's the hard part. Ready? When you just got in a fight with your spouse and you know you're right. Well, if she comes and apologizes, then wait. Humble yourself and become her servant. Walk into the kitchen and start doing the dishes. Now, she might pass out because she ain't seen that before. All right? But that's when it's, come on. You guys that are married, you people married, you know that's hard. Amen. Right? You got an argument. You're laying in bed back to back, you know. Each facing the other way. Wait a minute. One of you needs to humble themselves, roll over, put their arms around the other one, say, I love you, I'm sorry. I'll make it up to you. That is not easy. I know maybe in the movies they maybe think so, but it ain't easy. Okay, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross, for this reason. Or in other versions, therefore. For this reason, God, now wait a minute, what reason? That Jesus took on the form of a servant, humbled himself, he had this attitude. For that reason, God, anybody know what comes next? Exalted him, right? And bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought Jesus came by that just because he's God. What this means is the Father, and you'll see it when you get the revelation, because of Christ's humility and servanthood, he deflects praise from himself to his Son. And the Son turns around and gives it back, by the way, okay? But he deflects that back because of that servanthood. You should be like Christ. And when you are, therefore, God will reward you when you become a servant. Now, this is the reason God gave you gifts. This is why God gave me my gift. As each, oh, that's the individual again. That means you don't get to jump piggyback onto mine. Each has received a gift. Anybody in here not an each? That means you have a gift. That means you have a gift. That means you have a gift. It excludes no one. Use it to serve others. Now, I'm going to stop there. And I had to learn this. I actually thought people liked me because I was nice, because I'm likable. No. I find most people that are drawn to me want my gift. And that means all y'all most of the time, too. Because most of the time, when I get a phone call for you, it's not for you to invite me to your house for dinner. It's help! I know that got you awake, didn't it? You see what I'm saying? Maybe you know somebody's got that gift of encouragement. That's who you invite to watch the game with you on Friday night. Because you had a long week, and you're going to bring over, by the way, Barnabas. The word name Barnabas means son of encouragement. So you invite that Barnabas over because you need upliftment. I understand that when most people are drawn to me, it is not because I'm likable. I'm serious, okay? Because there's a gift God gave me, and guess what? That used to bother me. I just don't know why they just can't like me for who I am. No, wait a minute. God gave me the gift I have. What? To serve others.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.